Colonel Hutchison, Real One. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Colonel Hutchison?
Yes, precisely. The 3rd of April 1918 in Kirkcaldy, where my family lived. My father was concerned with our family business in the grain trade, flour milling and malting being the principal subjects. And based in Kirkcaldy.
And could you tell us a little about, you know, your childhood and the sort of way you were brought up?
Yes. We lived in a house on the outskirts of Kirkcaldy until I was about 10 years old, I think. And I used to do lessons as a little boy with my the other members of my family and one or two others that came in until I went to school at the age of 9 to a preparatory school up at called Ardbrack, which is still going on near Crepe, not so far from here. And then every summer we came up here.
That's to Bolf.
To Bolfrax, yes. Summer holidays, returning to a fight in the autumn in early October. So that was a very happy childhood. A brother, 4 years older than me, and two sisters, one 2 years older and one 2 years younger. They were alive. My brother, who was in the back watch, he was killed in the war in Sicily.
And what was your? How did you do at the preparatory school? I mean, was it a day school?
No, it was no. It was a boarding school, and I should say at the time that I was there, very Victorian. I mean, the headmaster, I remember, used to come and read Greek verse in the dormitories, and we had ridiculous attire. We wore Eton collars. And an awful job on a cold winter morning, getting the stud through and the collar and the collar was always worn so that it rubbed your neck. It did become, while I was there, slightly more civilized.
How long were you there for? What ages were you there?
9 until 13, I suppose.
And did you get homesick? I mean, you were very young.
Yes. But I was reasonably happy. But yes, I was homesick, I think. Yeah.
Did you specialise in any particular subject, or were you sport inclined, or which way?
No. I wasn't particularly I wasn't particularly good at sport. I was just average, I think. I think I was nearer the top of my form. On the bottom.
Any particular subject interest you, or were you?
Yes. History always has. History has been a disappointment to me, both at this preparatory school and also when I went on to a public school, Loretto, because I don't think in either place was well taught to me, so it's always a slight disappointment. And it's only since I left school I've really developed a taste of enjoyment of reading history for pleasure.
What was it that you didn't like about the way it was taught?
I suppose that the teacher just failed to capture my interest. So that it became a bore rather than a fascination.
Now, what about Loretto? That's Edinburgh, is it?
Yeah, yes, outside Edinburgh, yes. Mm.
And again, you'd be boarding?
Yes.
And what was Loretto like?
I think I enjoyed being there. I was not homesick. I think it was quite well run. It's a small school, still is. I think at the time I was there, certainly doesn't apply now, there was an overemphasis on sport, which I didn't particularly shine at. in that I didn't sort of represent the school in any of the main sporting activities they indulged in. I wasn't sort of distinguished a pupil at all. I did reach the sixth form, but I was never a prefect. And I left, I think, about the time that I was 18.
So about 1933?
No, I went there in 31, and I left there in 36. Yes, yes, I left it. In the spring, spending the summer staying with a family in Germany to learn a bit of the language before going out to Cambridge in October.
Before we go, what about at Loretta? Were you involved in the OTC at all?
Yes.
Could you tell me what sort of training you got with them?
Minimal. As a matter of fact, I remember I passed, I think it was called Cert A, in both practice and theory with the minimum marks. I was undistinguished. I didn't particularly enjoy the OTC.
What type of thing did they do?
Well, some years we have camps. During the period I was there, because it was the following the financial crisis in 30 and thereabouts, quite several of the camps were cancelled for reasons of saving. Drilling, a certain amount of rifle practice, I suppose.
How did you take to drill?
I didn't.
you found it boring?
Yes.
And weapons training? How serious?
Weapons training, yes. I don't know. The general sort of simple things. I wasn't in the pipe band. My older brother was. He was the pipe major of the band. I thought one person in the family playing the pipes was quite enough.
The military things weren't your interest at the time. And you passed for Cambridge, so you were doing fairly well academically.
At Cambridge?
No, I mean to get there, I presume.
To get there, yes. Mind you, in those days, to get an entry into a college was more the ability of one's parents to pay the fees than academic ability. I had no difficulty about getting the necessary certificates. And then, of course, went up for college interview. But I think they just wanted to have a look at you and decide whether they wanted to have you or not.
And which subject in which college?
Fair.
And so you were specialising in what?
Well, much to my disappointment, I was obliged to read agriculture because the intention was that I would start work with another family business, the Rank family business, to whom I'm related. My mother being a Rank, in 1939.
The film distributor, the film and entertainment people.
Yeah, the Rank family were in flour milling as well in a big way, and one of the members of the family, my uncle Arthur Rank, who had no sons and who was going to, so to speak, sponsor me into the business. He started the film business, but before then. He wasn't keen on my going to university. He thought that I should start work in the business when I left school. I said, no, I wanted to go to university. He said, oh, very well, the compromise will be that I'd like you to read agriculture, which I think is the most useful subject. It was quite a waste of Cambridge, of course. I quite enjoyed it, and I made some very good friends as a result.
What exactly was the study of agriculture at Cambridge? what were you studying then? I mean, what were the topics that made it?
It's agricultural sciences. It was scientific and technological, I suppose. In that, one is studying soil science and botany and all those sort of allied subjects.
Were you in any of the societies, Cambridge societies? Or any particular hobbies develop?
No. I became a member of a club, it's a purely social club called the Pit Club, latterly.
What was that?
I was there. And that had premises, and still has, I think, in Jesus Lane. It's really a sort of men's club for undergraduates. And I had a number of friends who were members of it. That's why I started. Now, I can't say that I was involved in any sort of other worthwhile society. No.
Now, you're at university from 36 to 39. Were you very aware of what was going on in Europe? Well, in particular, Germany.
And one was aware of the likelihood of becoming involved in a war in the foreseeable future.
Did you take any action to sort of consider joining the territory, one of the OTC groups at the university, or a territorial group there? Or?
Yes. Sometime during my last year there, 38-39, I decided I ought to become involved with the territorial army, as my brother being then in the Black Watch. I decided that I would go in something different. I joined the Infantry Yeomanry.
Now, how did you go about doing that, and what made you choose that?
Of course, I knew a good many of the officers in the regiment at that time. And in fact, several of them were members of my family, and the regiment had indeed been commanded by a cousin of my father's not so very long before. And so they were kind enough, and on the strength of the OTC experience, to give me a commission to which I've certainly not entitled otherwise.
When did you actually join up, and how did they? What was the procedure?
I joined during, must be about a year before, because they wanted me to do, and I did a certain amount with the TA in Cambridge during my last year, going to, I can't remember what, nothing very much, but becoming involved slightly. And then I did one camp immediately before the war with the regiment.
That would be at
Catterick. At Catterick in July 39.
Just before we go to that, do you remember, recall your interview, when you were accepted as an officer?
No, I don't.
And
I think it was very approximate. And not very onerous from my standpoint. I think they wanted young officers.
And they already knew you.
And in fact, I think the 544th Yeomanry were one of the first of the TA regiments to double up their strength, both in officers and other ranks.
Now, what about your first real experience with them was this, was the camp at Catterick? And what do you recall of that? What were your first impressions of the unit?
I thought it was dreadful.
Well, in what way? What was dreadful about it?
Hearty. And, I don't know, rather distasteful. The whole thing is, having just come down from 3 years at Cambridge, which I'd enjoyed immensely, this was, I don't know, dreadful experience. So I didn't look forward to the war.
What was the officers' mess like? Who were the main figures in it at the time? Yes. Do you remember who?
It was all right.
I mean, the colonel would be McIntosh, was it Sandy McIntosh?
There were two colonels. See, there were two regiments went to the camp together, so to speak. He commanded the one I was in. He was Charlie West, the rifle man.
So you were you were in second, the second 545 yes. unit. And which squadron had you gone straight into?
I was in the Piccoli squadron.
A squadron.
No, C squadron.
Sorry, yes.
A squadron, St Andrews.
And so you were in C squadron, and what did you think of McIntosh, Sandy McIntosh?
Well, Sandy's marvellous.
In what way? Yes. What was so nice about him?
Very sort of charismatic, tremendous enthusiast, lovely sense of humour. He had a quite distinguished war career.
In the First World War, or do you mean, or later?
No, you're too young for the First World War. For the in the Second World War, when he left us, he was promoted to sort of a full colonel, and then he got command of a very well-off organisation called Phantom. But you know about Phantom.
So he did do well.
That for the war.
And the second in command of the thing, Fergus McIntyre.
Yes.
What was he like?
Splendid. A cosy old bachelor. A great fun. Not a distinguished soldier at all.
In what way? Well, you mean he wasn't competent or just not the...
Yes, he was not soldierly.
In what way?
By nature. he was not a born soldier.
He seems to have been...
He was a very nice man.
People seem to have thought he was a bit of a character.
Yes. And he became, indeed, although he was a good deal older than me, quite a close personal friend. And after the war, I used to see quite a lot of him. He used to come and stay here from time to time. He was a very popular man.
And did the majors, the other majors, seem to have been Major Andrew Brown, Captain John Gilmore, and Major Alistair Nairn?
Yes, he was my squadron leader.
What was he like? Because he left later on.
Yes, he's still alive, you know. Completely blind now, alas. He must have been docking on 99, Alistair. I see him from time to time.
What was he like then?
He's very... A shy man, rather dry. I liked him, but I never had a great deal in common with him. I was only in his squadron for the first 18 months or so of the war, and then I was moved to John Gilmore's squadron, B squadron. For a short time, and then found his way to squadron when I came to rest.
Now, a lot of people have said that Nairn was very competent, you know, that he was a businessman and that he was very competent in the way he ran his squadron. Was that noticeable to you, do you think?
Yes. I think he took a great deal of trouble. I think he was competent. But as I say, a shyish man, and not easy to get close to. Very kind, nice wife. I got on quite well with Alistair.
What about the others? Major Brown, Andrew Brown.
Andrew Brown was a First World War soldier who had come back. And he was very keen on the recruitment of A Squadron and did that. But he didn't, of course, stay very long with the regiment for a year or so, I suppose, after the war broke out, because, well, he was just on the old side.
And Sir John Gilmore, what was he like? He was a more junior officer than him.
Yes. I mean, I got on always far better with John Gilmore than with Alistair Nairn. Frankly, perhaps I had more in common. Of course, John Gilmore at the outbreak of war was not married. He only got married about a year after the war.
Had you known him at university, or
older than me? But I knew him in that for the last 10 years before the war. We were living in a house very near Montrave, and so became very friendly with the Gilmores. So I knew him. I knew him far better, really, than Alistair Nairn at the outbreak of war.
Now, what about the other junior officers in C Squadron? Anybody that you can bring to mind?
Yes. There was a cousin called Graham Hutchison.
What was he like? He was just a lieutenant, was he?
Yes. Yes, we were all lieutenants. Yes. Delightful. He died a few years ago. But he was a close friend. Very unmilitary. He married very young. He was trying to be a publisher in London. I think not very successfully at that time, but enjoying it. Very unmilitary. But he had a good war record too. Almost exact contemporary of mine, called Kenneth Matheson, who'd been at Ardbeck with me, and whom I knew very well. And sadly, he was killed in Normandy. I think that we were the three.
What about your senior sort of squadron NCOs and troop NCOs? Because that's quite important when you go as a young and somewhat inexperienced officer.
I think we had very good relations, and of course, quite a number of the NCOs were commissioned during the course of the war at different stages. I mean, the quality of the yeomen at the outbreak war, the potential quality, was pretty high. They were all volunteers. And that in itself probably was an indication that they were good material, potential material.
Now, what exactly, you mentioned him, how did you all gel together in the mess? I mean, what sort of a mess did you have at the camp? Was that was hearty, overly hearty for you, or was it just a
gist? It was a affair, I think. We had formal dinners.
What were they like? What would happen at a typical formal dinner?
Fairly alcoholic. Rather boring, so.
Did you drink much at the time, or...?
Yes, and then after dinner, they liked doing what they called cockfighting. You got on the back of somebody else and then had fights in pairs. I didn't find this terribly amusing, but that was indulgent. It's a regular practice.
It sounds as if you didn't drink as much as the rest of them did, nor were at the time, anyway. What was the main drink? I mean, the mess favoured, or because some messes were.
No, I can't remember.
So, which one that? Yeah. And so, what about the what you were actually doing at the camp? Do you remember what sort of training you took part in?
Well, we had very little equipment at that time. Really remarkably little. So, I can't remember the refusal, rather. Broken down tanks, I think. But we did a lot of marching around. On the whole, it wasn't particularly productive because I think there wasn't the equipment and it was fairly monotonous.
Would there be the Mark 6B tank the broken down old tanks. Would that be the ones you had, or was it even older ones?
Mark 6Bs, I suppose. And I suppose we had the old Bren gun carrier, but we had very little equipment then.
So you wouldn't have had much experience as an armoured, you know, as an armoured unit officer. I mean, you've not had much experience at all when the war broke out.
No, none.
Did you attend any drill nights before, at, you know, in Kirkcaldy?
No.
Before the war broke out?
No. Because I wasn't, you see, I wasn't there. I was at Cambridge. Anyway, my family when I was on vacation and at home, we were out at Largo, living at Largo, so no, I didn't do any drills, I don't think, practically speaking, on.
What do you remember of the outbreak of war? I think they were called up just a couple of days before, but how do you remember it?
I'd gone, after this camp, I went off with a Cambridge friend to have a bit of a holiday in France in his car, which was a fairly sort of broken down, slightly sporty vehicle for a fortnight. And we were aiming to go down, spend some time in the Auvergne, and then down to the France. And we achieved that gradually. It's a long story. This is, it could be boring.
No, carry on.
things, he said, I found him in a muse, sort of doing fiddling around with the car when I went to London. He lived in London. And he said, he's not quite ready, but I think we'll be all right to go. We were going to go the following day, so we went. Well, first thing that happened was that the self-starter broke down, so that every time the engine stalled, I had to get out and wind it up to get it going again. That was the first of sort of minor troubles. But almost everything went wrong with that car. But we did manage to get the thing down to the south of France, where we found some other a rich friends staying at Jean Le Pin, and we sponged on them a bit, because they were staying in a good hotel, which we couldn't afford. So we took full advantage of that. And one day I was sitting on the beach, we'd been doing water skiing, and bought a Daily Express, I remember. On the front page, you see, was the Molotov, Ribbentrop, migration pact. And I said, Christ, Victor, look at this. This is the war. I think we better start heading for home. And so we did. And